Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Warren Thompson, who is the co-founder of Allometrics. Today, we're going to be discussing Warren's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Warren.
Thank you, Julia. It's a pleasure to be here.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur and agency owner?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's something that's changed over the years. For myself, I've always been a really goal-oriented person. I've always thought about how I wanted to have a big impact. Back when I was early in my marketing career, we had worked with an agency. This was so I used to work client side, and that's kind of how I built my career. It was at a company called Kintech, and okay. So it was like a local business that started to get bigger and bigger. So it was kind of an exciting ride. And we worked with an agency back in the day to do a complete rebrand. And I just thought it was the coolest experience. I was there for like I was able to come on as the younger kind of marketing person, learning from the more experienced folks. And I think it really changed the way that I saw marketing and what I saw what was possible with conducting a strategy session and really like revamping a business and turning that inside out. And I also got to see, because I stayed with Kintech for a very long time, almost 10 years. I got to see the kind of exponential effects of that happen after and implement that with like the marketing team, which I eventually became the director of marketing with. So I think it was just really cool. And through that whole experience and my time there, I was always just really fascinated with marketing and, you know, understanding customers, understanding psychology, and kind of the mix of technology and psychology. I find like that's really fun.
Yeah, but that's a cool way of putting it.
Yeah. It's I find that's why I like digital marketing so much. But what really through that whole process, I also hired and helped develop a marketing team there. And looking back on it, like that was the most rewarding part, even though it was the most challenging. I think that maybe that those two linked together. But the same thing kind of applies for the agency. So we built a team that I'm really proud of. And it's really great to see them grow and develop in their careers and be able to do the same thing with our clients. Like that's, I think, what motivates me the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you can just make a difference and help grow your client's company, it's such a rewarding feeling at the end of the day. And you build such a great relationship over time and you're able to see that evolution of their business growing. So definitely very rewarding.
Yeah, and the people within those businesses too. We'll get to this, but I also teach digital marketing, and a lot of my students end up getting placements in these companies, and then they grow into, you know, more senior marketing professionals and stuff, and they start their own businesses. And like I have a student who's doing wildly like successful right now in his own business, a past student from only a few years ago. So it's just really cool to see that, have that impact at maybe the right moment in their lives. And see them kind of, you know, launch into the next level of their career and lives. And so it's cool. I feel like that's why we're all kind of doing this. And that's how everyone can kind of help each other.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm really curious to learn about your story of starting Allometrics. So why did you decide to start Allometrics? And yeah, I'd love to learn, you know, what it was like in the early days.
So back to that moment when I was like a younger marketer working client side and got to work with a cool agency and do our whole rebrand and stuff, I think I knew right then that I was like, I want to work in an agency. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know if it was going to be a branding agency or a creative agency or a digital agency or whatnot. And so I started doing, after a couple of years, I started doing a little side hustle, of helping friends with logos and websites and then just helping people with some marketing advice. And so yeah. I kept that side hustle going for a few years, it was a lot because I was a marketing director with like my own challenges, throughout my day. But I knew that that was the eventual switch that I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept at it, and like maybe after doing it for about 4 years on the side, handling a few clients here, I think maybe I did about 8 websites or something along those lines, and then logos and brand identities. Then eventually I was like, hey, this is it's time to make this move. And so it was really hard because I'd worked at the company for so long; they were like family to me, and it was so right. it felt like this, you know, stepping into the unknown. Okay, really don't know what's going to happen here, and then I just knew that I had to do it.
Yeah.
So the funny thing, so I have a co-founder, mm-hmm. Charles, and we've been doing this for 4 years now. But originally, when I was he owned an agency that worked with me at Kintech when I was the marketing director there. He was my digital agency.
Right.
And so I told him, hey, I'm quitting. I'm going to be starting my own agency. And then a few months later, he approached me and said, hey, like, you want to go grab a beer? And then he asked, he said, hey, do you want a partner on this? And we'd already had a great working relationship for a few years. And mm-hmm. I think he just wanted to see like that I was actually going to go ahead with it. And then once I did, he's like, okay, like this guy's
that's
serious.
Smart. Yeah.
And so yeah, the rest is history. We ended up partnering up. So I actually started 2 businesses at first, doing kind of brand strategy and then also doing digital marketing, which is what Allometrics is. But eventually that just kind of all of the strategy stuff, I really found that it was more interesting actually when it was incorporated with digital marketing. Because of that technology/psychology mix,
yeah,
I just found that was so cool. So that just became our focus really quickly.
Very good. That's awesome. And then, so yeah. You know, when you were a new company and you were first starting out, how did you bring on those first few clients? Like, it sounds like you did well. It sounds like you were like you did like those 8 websites. But how did you continue to bring in clients in those early days?
Yeah. So I guess the difference between where I was at and maybe where a new, like a person just starting a career and they want to start a digital marketing agency is I had been a marketing professional for almost 10 years. So I had, I was a marketing director, and you know, actually that you could say that that's a strength. It could be a weakness because, hey, you know, this guy's been working client side from one company for 10 years. But the reality was we had multiple companies. We had like 4 or 5 different brands, and we'd done rebranding and built an e-commerce website and done so much. Mm-hmm. So I had that experience. But the main thing is I knew that we were going to need to get clients, and we didn't have a system for that. So I started teaching. I got a job teaching digital marketing classes at BrainStation. That was wildly helpful for us. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing public speaking, so speaking for Small Business BC, Squamish Chamber, where I live, and basically like Vancouver Startup Week, anything I could like get a speaking gig doing, and then working kind of some professional like referrals from the people in my network. So that was how we started, right? Teaching referrals, people that had seen me speak, and then mm-hmm. referral within our networks.
Yeah, I love that. Great strategies. That's awesome. It can definitely be overwhelming, you know, taking on speaking gigs and getting yourself out there. But I think that's the most valuable thing you can do for your business is just, you know, taking the plunge, getting out there, talking to as many people as possible, and just building those relationships.
Yeah. And it's funny because nowadays everyone, you know, my whole team, they're like, oh, you're so good at speaking. This is, you know, it's just so natural for you. But I was actually very shy when I was younger. So it was something that had to be learned, had to be like anything. You know, I had to practice,
You know,
practice being uncomfortable, getting in front of larger and larger audiences. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone who's like really good at speaking will tell you that they were just born with it. Like a very small percentage. I think most people had to learn it.
Yeah. I think as an entrepreneur, it's so important to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and just pushing yourself out of that comfort zone. And like you said, the more you do it, you're just going to get more comfortable with it. And then you're just going to get better as well.
Yeah. I also like, and I know this works for a lot of people as well, but I did join I never joined, but I did kind of attend a couple of like business networking groups, like BNI and et cetera. It ended up not being like the right fit for what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. But I thought that like that would be a great source for someone that's starting out. If they're able to get in there and just become part of like that group that is a bunch of, I'll say, small business owners or sole proprietors, I guess, in a lot of cases. I think it's a great place to start, and I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in BNI, you're always, you know, pitching your product as well, your product or service. So it gets you, you know, you have no choice. You have to get comfortable with speaking and selling your product. So yeah, it's definitely a good place to start for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how do you maintain happy clients along the way so that they're going to hopefully, you know, bring in those referrals to you?
Having great systems, I think is a big piece of this. I think that was the biggest change that happened in the last year. So we grew really fast in like, maybe it was a couple of years ago after COVID. Like when COVID happened, it was really bad for business.
Yeah.
It's bad for business, right? For a couple of months. And so I was hustling like crazy, speaking and doing webinars almost every week to try to recover like basically half of our clients that stopped, you know, stopped paying us. And either had to shut down for a while or had to like cut their services by like 75% and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Cause the first thing people cut, everyone cuts is marketing.
I know.
So we ended up getting really busy. And so all of those event budgets that were, you know, companies were using were now being dedicated to digital marketing. And we just started taking on clients like crazy and big ones and then having to grow fast with them. So nice. The biggest thing that we had to do was build systems. And so that Charles and I could fire ourselves from our roles, basically. So we now have a team of account managers that, and so we're thinking, okay, how can we maintain the same experience when, you know, a client that's been working with one of us is now working with an account manager who's maybe a little bit newer. And so having the systems was like super important so that they can have a consistent experience and get good results. And then also training. So I mean, like we really put that together because we're also a remote team. We built some training resources. So everyone that we bring on the team, they go through like our own like little internal Thinkific course that we put together.
Nice.
And then we also built like 30, 60, 90 day plans for the key roles like marketing coordinators and account managers to onboard them. Even then, even with all the training and the systems and stuff, you still need to really develop the team and those people, and because this industry changes so fast, there's so much going on. Like you know, for me,
absolutely,
you know, long time, it's like it's a new thing every day. So I think that is just making sure you have a really strong people, and then you're selecting the right people that are a really good fit for your culture and your team. Is because I can't be everywhere at all times, so I got to trust the team. to make those right decisions for clients and keep them happy. So, and other than that, leading by example. So they see me just going the extra mile, making sure that we reach out and care about our clients. We're being proactive. That's like one of our, it's one of our big ones that I start in the training or our onboarding videos for our team.
Yep.
Just talking about being proactive with clients, making sure that you try to reach out first and just let them know, hey, we're thinking about you. Maybe the numbers don't, they don't always have to look good, but maybe there's a couple things down, but we're working on it. We've got a couple things in mind and we're going to do X, Y, Z to turn things around this week. So.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think being proactive and reaching out and making that communication before your client has a chance to come. And if they have any questions, raise them. If you're the first one to bring it up, I think that works wonders for just really helping build that trust because you're being transparent with them. You're explaining to them, you know, you're thinking about them, you care about them. And I think that's so important.
Yeah. I was talking to the team about this. I was thinking about like, why do people hire an agency? They hire an agency because they want the agency to lead them. If they wanted to hire a marketer that they would lead, they would hire an internal marketer in a lot of cases, because then they would lead that person that they're hiring internally. So I tried to really communicate that to the team, is like, you guys are leaders. And so even if they don't feel like, they might feel uncomfortable, like they've never stepped into those shoes before, like, I'm a leader, I have to like lead this business owner. So that may be a little bit weird and like awkward the first time, but eventually with practice, just like public speaking, they get good at it. And then, okay, that's not such a big deal. And then they start to get confident and be better in that, wearing those shoes, I'll say. So that's being proactive and being on top of things, even if the news isn't good all the time, is a part of that. You're leading that client to success.
Yeah. And that's really cool, because you're building a team of other leaders as well. So that's going to be, you know, helping them build skills like being problem solvers and, you know, trying to figure out problems themselves instead of going to their superiors. So I think that's a really, really cool skill to help nurture.
Yes, because as I've learned, can't be everywhere, especially because we're a remote team, and it's had its own, you know, its own pros, but also its own challenges at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Awesome. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that Allometrics has had to overcome as you guys have grown the agency?
I think that's the one I just kind of alluded to. There's a quote that I heard recently, which I just thought was so good, that the more valuable you are to your business, the less valuable your business is. And so
That's good.
I know, it's so good. And, you know, this is talking about if you want to make your business attractive for you know, some sort of equity event in the future, right? If you were either buying other businesses or bringing on other partners or selling or something along those lines. But it's kind of like related to the E Myth, you know, Michael Gerber, the book you start your business, you're the technician, right? You're the, in many cases with an agency, you're the artist, right? You're kind of that, you've got all that tribal experience. And you just, it's hard to really unpack what that DNA is. So then a lot of people just end up staying in that role. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want, you know, 30 years from now, you're like, no, that's actually the role that I want. And I want that myself. But if you want to, what we wanted to do was to create a team of people that would be in those shoes, working with clients, learning how to really be a, you know, all-star digital marketer, and then we would be coaching them, and then eventually become, you know, kind of move up to this CEO role with the leadership team and whatnot. So that was the vision that we had, and so the hardest part was firing ourselves from those positions, and, you know, I'm still trying to do it in many ways. In many cases, I'll get pulled in when there's an emergency and whatnot. But from last year to this year, it's a completely different agency. Because last year the agency revolved around Charles and I, and this year the agency revolves around the team. So that's
really
cool. It was the hardest year because of that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just implemented all those systems to help take you guys out of being the main person who needs to be running the ship. And then you're building up leaders around you. So now it's sort of the machine is running itself.
It still requires help.
It's definitely a difficult task to achieve for sure.
Yeah, it's the most challenging task, I think. So
yeah, absolutely.
But it's also like I mentioned before with the team, I think it is the most rewarding because it's not all about you. It's about making other people win. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're able to help both your team members and then your clients as well, it's super rewarding. Mm-hmm. So where do you see Allometrics in 5 years time?
Oh, 5 years. We don't actually plan out 5 years, plan out 3 years, 3 years in advance, but.
Okay. Where do you see Allometrics in 3 years then?
Yeah. Well, our goal is to grow by 45% every year for the next 3 years. So it's a lofty goal. It.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it will mean that we'll have more than twice as many clients and our mm-hmm. team will be more than twice the current size. So right now our team is I don't want to get these numbers wrong, but it's about 11 internal and then 11 external, I don't want to say external contractors. Some of them have been working since like day one. So another contractor, they've been around for 3 years and we know each other so well. So, but that would be, that's the goal. So we want to just work with, more bigger, more exciting. I don't want to diminish the young companies or small companies either, but we want to have a bigger impact. Let's say I want to do more educational events. I want to kind of grow the marketing education side. It's funny. Both my parents were teachers and I was like, I'm never going to be a teacher. And then now I teach digital marketing. So
it's just in you.
I know. Yeah, I can't help it apparently. But I think teaching is so much fun. So I want to do that and develop that side of our offering and then also just continue to grow and work with really great companies and have a big impact. So.
And when you're teaching, are you teaching? I know you are teaching other digital marketers. Is that right?
Yeah. So
and then do you also teach small businesses as well, like entrepreneurs?
Yeah. So it depends on like the venue or who's putting this together. Small Business BC is like almost entirely small business owners. Right. Squamish Chamber is where I'm doing a couple of workshops in a couple of weeks. Same thing. I did a talk at PPC Hero. That's all like, digital marketers that do Google ads and stuff.
Yeah.
And Brain Station when I taught there, and I think Jelly Academy too, it's a mix of small business owners that want to understand digital marketing better. Mm-hmm. I'll say junior marketers that like are trying to get into digital marketing, and then even senior marketing managers and like directors that mm-hmm. are trying to add this skill set to their kind of quiver or toolbox of marketing talents. And so that's why I think it's kind of interesting. All three different profiles learn very different ways. And so you have to really well how to explain some concepts and use a lot of metaphors and different examples.
Yeah, so interesting. Yeah, and we were talking before the show as well about Jelly Marketing. Darian Kovacs came on the show last week, so shout out to him. And I love that you are a teacher for Jelly Marketing. That's so cool.
Jelly Marketing, they are great people and they do amazing work. Darian's, I don't know how he has all that time to do everything that he does. It's actually quite amazing.
He's so awesome. Yeah.
So big thanks to him. I'll say it right now. Thank you, Darian. He actually, the funny story, I was doing a webinar for MNP, who is a large kind of accounting consulting client of ours. Mm-hmm. And it was a really big webinar. It was like 500 people there, and Darian was there, and he just messaged me after on LinkedIn and said, "Hey, really great work." And I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, "Oh, I'm like thank you. I didn't realize that you were there." And then he asked me to speak at or be a teacher at Jelly Academy soon after, which was really cool. So.
Oh wow, that's awesome. That's so cool. That's how you guys met.
That's how we met. Yeah, I think. like what he does so well is he just creates communities, I think, and connects people really well. Like that's his gift. So I think he's done a great job with the community around Vancouver and digital marketers and marketers in general. So
yeah, that's so cool. Awesome. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly. We'll be moving on to the Fast Five in just a moment. But before we move on, do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
And this might even be in the Fast Five, but the business owner, the entrepreneur, the person who's doing it alone, I would say the thing that I think that's been important for us is that I think there's a book written with this title, but Ready, Fire, Aim is the advice I'd like to give to any agency owners that are, you know, trying to get into it. Nothing's going to be perfect, and you're not going to know all the answers. You just have to trust that you are you have the ability to be resourceful, find the answers, find the support network or the team, and be part of the community and build your business, because it's hard. It's a really hard job to run an agency. And it's sometimes I'm like, man, did I just pick the hardest career? Like, you're not going to know all the answers. I don't. I still don't. Mm-hmm. And I likely never will. But you just have to be to trust in yourself and just keep reading and learning from other people.
Yeah. Some really, really great points in there. Don't get hung up on that perfectionism. Just, you know, do your best and move quickly. Just keep that forward momentum going. And just have that patience. You know, as long as you do that hard work and continue, you'll be successful.
Yeah, it's good advice.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Warren. Now we're just going to move on to the Fast Five. First question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Okay, so I knew you were going to ask this question. I'm a huge fan of books. I've read so many, and I listened to, I don't know, dozens of books. I was trying to trace it back to the book that I think had the biggest impact at the right moment in my life, and that was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's like, you know, such a popular book, and it's almost cliche to say it, but I read it, I think, when I was in my, you know, like maybe around 27 or something along those lines. It was like the perfect moment to read it. I was like, oh my God. Like, this is, I can probably confidently say I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be having this conversation if I didn't read that book.
It was that impactful. Yeah.
And it was actually recommended by a speaker. I was at a talk. It was actually at our company, Kintech. We had this conference called the Kinference over here. And so there's a speaker there, and he recommended, he said, read that book, it'll change your life. And so I think I went up and talked to him after, and then I read it. And yeah, I would say that it did. I actually reached out to that guy. He's the CEO and leads this wildly successful business now that like cleans up plastic from the oceans, and like it's really cool. So many companies, and I thanked him and said, hey, thank you for that book recommendation, because that literally changed my life. So
amazing. Cool. Yeah, I love that story. And what does your morning routine look like?
It's funny, I've read the 5 a.m. Club and like all these other, you know, books on morning routines, but I keep it pretty simple. I wake up early, and so early for me, I'll say.
Yeah.
Like 6:15, 30. I make sure that I get my day organized of what I want to accomplish that day, like what my most important priorities are, so I don't just jump into things. I'll write down 3 things that I'm grateful for, which I think is
I love that. Really helpful. Yep. Yeah.
Especially if you have like a, you know, a little bit of a, you have a bad sleep, you wake up, you're like, oh my God, I got so much going on. There's so much to do. Just writing down what I'm grateful for, maybe like looking out the window at the beautiful mountains and just kind of going, okay, yeah, I am living the life that I want to live, is important, because you're going to have those moments where it really doesn't feel like the life you want to live. It feels like, you know, it feels like a sentence, and you know, you're giving yourself the hardest job on the planet. So I think that taking those moments early in the day to start your day off right is is important, and having space. So having like an hour before, at least for me, like to have an hour before the rest of the team starts their day, where I can get ahead on my day. So I think it's like, if you lose an hour in the morning, you'll spend all day trying to find it.
Yeah.
Important.
Awesome. I love that. And I love the three things that you're grateful for. My business partner and I were just talking about this, and he was like, we're really so fortunate. Like, some people are really dealt a difficult hand, and I feel like we don't appreciate what we have. You know, we have running water, we have a fridge to keep our food cold, like just like the basics. And when you think about it that way, you're like, wow, like I have it pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like your, you know, your family, the fact that you are leading a business on your own terms, and that you're you're responsible for the success of your life. And that's in your capabilities and control. So I think that there's a lot to that, like very simple, only takes like 1 minute to do. So,
Love it. Yeah. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, actually, but Noah, I think it's Kagan. And I think that's how you pronounce his last name. CEO of AppSumo. He has a YouTube channel. It's just awesome. Like he's so transparent, just talks about like day in his life and how he was actually an early Facebook employee. He was like employee like number 40 or something like that, and helped to kind of build Facebook ads. And he's a like just a really genuine guy, obviously super successful, but still just keeps it real. And I think he's good to follow on YouTube.
Yeah, and definitely a cool resource for digital marketers as well. Anyone who's not familiar with AppSumo and the lifetime deals that they offer, so it's really cool.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite online tool?
So we're using, there's so many, by the way, it's really hard to say. I picked one that I think is important for us because we're a remote team. It's called Office Vibe. Have you heard of it?
No, okay. I haven't.
Okay. I think they're a Canadian company. I could be wrong. But so I was trying to find a tool to kind of gauge how the team was feeling, right? Like, you know, you don't, when you're a remote team, you don't get that one-on-one, you don't get that sense of how people are doing. And you can do as many one-on-ones as you want with your team members and talk to people, but it's just not the same. You don't get anonymous feedback. And it was actually a team member of mine that recommended the tool. It wasn't me that found it. And I'm really glad that she did. So it basically does a weekly survey of all of the team members. And then they kind of answer a few questions. All these questions are related to different factors of the company wellness, I'll say. So like, you know, relationship with the peers, relationship with manager, connection to the purpose, et cetera. And then so you can have a score, people can give anonymous feedback, and then we can also give each other good vibes each week, which I share with the team. And so I think that that's being really critical for us in helping to improve the culture and just make sure that we're being better managers, better bosses, and better team members.
That's awesome. Yeah. That anonymous feedback, I think, is critical as well, because no one's going to really feel super comfortable having that honest feedback otherwise.
Exactly. So, you know, instead of, you might say it's fine, because sometimes looking at it is a bummer, because I look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, my God. People so unhappy. And so other times I look at it, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. People are like stoked. So you get both. And again, you're the boss, so it doesn't matter what you think. It's kind of, you know, you have to be the leader and make sure you're taking care of everyone else. And so I find that it's been super helpful. And I would say, if anyone's going to use it though, make sure you actually reply to the anonymous feedback once you get it. So, you know, take that anonymous feedback. Don't take it personally. Reply to it. Make sure you try to solve these things. Like, it's much better to get critical feedback from a team member than to just have them quit.
Exactly. Yeah. Great recommendation.
Yeah.
And Last question. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think the importance of systems and leadership. And so we went to a conference last, I think it was about 2 weeks ago. It was a virtual mm-hmm. conference called Scalable. But those guys are great, by the way, for any business owner. And they talked about this metaphor of the second mountain. So when you're growing your business, the first mountain is kind of like your marketing, your promotions, your basically being kind of a growth, pushing for growth, I'll say. Like you're kind of crowbarring your company to be bigger and bigger and bigger. And they say, if you want to scale, you can't keep climbing that first mountain. You have to climb the second mountain. And the second mountain is about leadership, about creating systems, about understanding, you know, things like tax laws and like, you know, legal and like other like really boring stuff that most business owners like, I don't want to do that stuff. I just thought it was a great analogy. It's like you can, you know, ramp up your outbound email systems and try to get more sales leads and get more people in and grow like crazy. But eventually you're going to have to move to that second mountain if you want to create a scalable organization. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really important concept to think about. So you literally have to become a different individual. Your skill set that got you here is not going to get you there. And so I think I think right now is a great time for me to be learning this, because we're hitting that kind of critical peak of the first mountain where we really need to start climbing that second one and becoming leaders instead and building a team of leaders. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really cool concept. So that's
really interesting. Just making sure that internal infrastructure can support that growth. And
because sometimes sometimes you're so busy and it's like I say sometimes we're like, you know, a rocket ship that's taking off that we're trying to build along the way. And you feel like you don't have time for that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you never address it, then eventually the rocket ship's going to fall apart. So you have to sometimes take two steps back to take more steps forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it's something, you know, you have to work on in the business as well, I find just putting it on my calendar, just making that time, and then I've given myself that permission to block everything else out and focus on that task at hand and get it started.
I got this tip from a book recently, which because we were setting quarterly goals for the whole team, and mm-hmm. everyone had this one thing that they were the champion of. And it was just have a kickoff meeting like we do with clients. When every client, we have a kickoff meeting, right? And I said, mm-hmm. okay, for your project, have a kickoff meeting, even if it's just you. And that will just kind of create this, it's like this ceremonial kind of start to the process, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, that's pretty smart. So that you don't just leave things, and I know that's something that's looming on my plate.
Yeah.
As soon as you have that little kickoff meeting, even with yourself, just get organized, then mm-hmm. official, now I've started this.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Warren. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and learn all about your journey of starting Allometrics. So thank you again for joining me for today's episode.
Thank you, Julia. It was a pleasure to be here. And I will say, my only ask is if anyone really enjoyed this, just add me on LinkedIn, you know, stay connected. It's a small community of marketers. So I'd love to be connected with you. Yep. It's Warren Thompson.
Warren Thompson, Allometrics.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.